Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. Before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, first of all, you know, you wrapped up a undefeated C-MAC season, 23-1 all time now in the conference. You know, and that's big, isn't it? Trying to establish something.
It is. You know, I think, it's good to be back in a conference. You know, we were outside of a conference for 20 years, and it's good to be back in a conference for a lot of reasons. I think it adds meaning to some of the local games. And you know, obviously in this day and age where it's hard to schedule, it's nice knowing that you've got six games that are guaranteed against local schools that generate a lot of interest. And obviously anytime, you know, you're playing two teams that are local and three teams out of Columbia plus Sedalia, there's a lot of bragging rights that are at stake. And it's great. It's great for the program, you know, to have won three out of the last four. We're proud of it. It's one of our goals. We work really hard to achieve that, and we're proud of the kids and proud of the coaches for accomplishing that goal.
So now tonight, the regular season finale at Viani, any chance the focus is off with being, you know, playing at Viani, not playing a local team?
I don't think so. You know, this team's really focused. You know, our seniors have done a great job of leading and, you know, staying in the present, you know, and working hard each day and being focused. You know, that was one of the challenges we put on the guys last week with the Sedalia, because coming off emotional games with Jeff City the last 2 years, I didn't think we were very sharp. But we just challenged them to play to a championship standard, and they did. You know, for four quarters, I thought we played really good at Sedalia. So I don't anticipate any letdown. I think we're going to go up to Viani ready to play and play well.
You know, you look at Viani 2-6, but then look at that schedule. They played a pretty elite schedule for this year.
Yeah, and I always say that about Viani. A lot of schools would have a similar record if they had to play in the Metro Catholic, and they play some monster teams. You know, and this will be the last time we play them. They've chosen to back out of this game. So it's, you know, we have a lot of respect for them, and they've had some great teams in the past. They're down a little bit. They are, and that's just the reality. You know, we're looking to finish our season, our regular season, off with a really good performance.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. Tom, I don't know that, you know, it was a surprise last week that the Crusaders won, and I don't know that 63-0 was necessarily a surprise either, but, you know, they finished out the C-MAC play portion of their schedule in fine fashion.
Yeah, you know, I here on the podcast last week, I picked Elias 34-7 because they had, in the past couple of years, you know, this is their last conference game, had kind of lost, and even Chris even admits this a little bit, that they'd lost a little focus play in Smith Cotton.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, you know, it's going to carry on. But they had something to play for. They really wanted a shutout. And the offense played very, very well again and, you know, took advantage of the opportunities they were given. You know, a lot of short fields and turned those into touchdowns. You know, they wanted the shutout. They wanted their second shutout of the year. Now that they allowed 45 points in the six C-MAC games, which is a, you know, conference record. The previous low for any of the seven teams in the conference was 52 when Helias won the state Class 4 state title undefeated in 2020. And that was a record that they wanted to break if at all possible. And they kept the shutout. They played their starters for basically a series into the third quarter, and then it was twos and threes after that, and those guys still played very, very well with a running clock.
Yeah. You know, that's, I think, something that gets kind of lost in the shuffle sometimes when, you know, for a lot of teams or for a lot of programs, when the second-teamers or the third-teamers do get a chance to play, a lot of times it's just like, oh, this is great. This is just gravy. Isn't this funny to watch Johnny kind of run around out
there? Wave the mom and dad in the stands. I'm on the field!
Good for him, and oh, what a great job he's doing. But it's kind of nice when you do have a little bit more of an impetus for those players to play well, and you have something, you know, that's almost like they have to be accountable to their teammates because they don't want to screw up when, you know, when the ones have turned it over with 0 points, the twos don't want to give up any points.
Yeah, that's one thing, you know, you notice from Helias's twos and threes all year, they've come in and held their own a lot of times, even against while other teams had their starters out there, which has happened more than once. You know, they go out there and fight. Yeah, I mean, they've given up a touchdown or two at times, but they've played very, very well, you know, defensively.
Right.
So, you know, that just tells you how deep that Hawaii really is on that side of the ball.
Yeah. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, yes, it is Smith-Cotton, but like we talked last week, it's an improving Smith-Cotton team. So 63 is still a lot of points against anybody. I don't care who you're playing. So is this a matter of the offense is kind of maybe starting to get into that next gear that we were maybe looking for them to take as they get kind of more accustomed to the, you know, the new quarterback and kind of how what everybody can do for them?
You know, Sedalia, they are getting better. Okay, we're going to, again, there would be no C-Mac without Sedalia. I don't think I mentioned that last week.
Right.
There will be no hate on Sedalia because without that, we wouldn't have the schedule Hawaii has.
Yeah.
So let's go with that. But defensively, they struggled. I mean, the offense didn't do them any favors. A lot of short fields, and Hawaii's, you know, had 35, 40-yard drives to score.
Okay.
But it was a windy night. And, you know, Austin Weaver, quarterback, went 19 for 19 in the first half.
Is that any good?
Yeah, for 233. I mean, and there were a couple of good catches by the receivers, so they get credit too. But he was on, and that really, I think, has to boost his confidence as to what's going to happen the rest of the year because that offense was really, really clicking. And again, it doesn't matter who you were playing against, they got it done with 56 points in the first half.
Absolutely. So the Crusaders moved to 7-1 overall, and like I said, do end up C-Mac 6-0. A little bit of a different focus this week now, so we got to get ready for tonight's game at Vianney. It's a, you know, a Vianney team that, you know, we've seen the last couple of years, and it's been a Vianney team that the last couple of years has been struggling at this point. And this is another year where they're, you know, they're 2-6, and it looks like some of those six losses have been particularly lopsided.
Yeah, when they started this series, Vianney was still kind of one of those St. Louis, we'll just politely call it a track players team.
Okay.
You know, there was some talent. You know, Kareem Williams, who's playing for the Rams now, he played against Elias when he was playing at Vianney. You know, they won two state championships in the last 7 years. So, I mean, it was a program that was good. Now, they had a coaching change. There were, you know, and they kind of, we'll say, stop the tracking players.
Okay.
And so then, you know, they've kind of fallen off a little bit. And, you know, and the series will be over after this year. Vianney did not renew the contract with them, so this is the last time they're going to play, which is kind of a shame for Hawaii because it was a good week 9 game to kind of against you were getting points for playing up. Vianney's class 6 with those two titles. And it was a team, you know, a St. Louis team that had been, you know, played really good competition, so you knew they were tested.
Right.
You know, this year, 2-6, again, struggling, but go look at their schedule.
Right.
You know, they've played, you know, DeSmet, the SLU, Chaminade, and
CBC. Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the elite of the elite a lot of times in class 5 or class 6. So, you know, I think Chris told me, and I don't remember if it's in the part that we played or when he and I talked afterward. A lot of teams would have that record playing, you know, would have playing that schedule. So you don't read anything into that.
Right, right. One thing that is worth noting that we want to make sure to specify tonight, it's a 6 o'clock start rather than a 7 o'clock start. So don't arrive at your normal time because you'll have missed quite a bit if you do that.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance you'll get to watch the Vianney band playing at halftime to show up.
Right.
You know, and it's on the Misha side, it's been 7 o'clock all year. But for some reason, way back when the season started, I went and looked, and it's like Vianney was playing their later season games, starting them at 6. And I thought, well, okay, I think they probably know better when they're going to start. So, 6 o'clock start. Get there early. Go stop someplace close, get some dinner, and head over. You know, the Texas Roadhouse is pretty close.
There
that's
you go.
Right. Last time they played up there. So, yeah. And, you know, and I talked to Chris, you know, about that. I said, does any thing changed, and he goes, only that we're going to get back an hour earlier.
Right.
You know, we're just going to go up there and play and do what we have to do.
Yeah. And as far as that goes, what do they have to do tonight? In terms of is there anything about this Vianney team that jumps out at you, either from things that Chris has said or things that stat-wise you look at and go, okay, this number or this performance jumps out at you?
You look at what they've done this year through 8 games, which should give you a pretty good idea of what teams like to do. They throw the ball more than they run it.
Okay.
Now, part of that is, and Chris kind of confirmed it, is, you know, they've fallen behind a lot recently and they've just had to throw the ball. But part of it is they want to throw it, you know, and they're not afraid to throw it deep. But he said they're particularly concerned about their screen game, and then, you know, you get caught waiting for a screen and they're throwing it over your head.
Yeah.
So, you know, the secondary figures to get tested pretty good tonight. And that's good because, you know, looking down the road in districts, there you're going to see some throwing teams.
You're right.
So you're going to have to continue to get better on that in the secondary.
And then I guess on the defensive side then, is there anything, any cause for concern for Elias going into this one, or is this another game where you look at it and go, okay, we can take some more steps this week?
Yeah, you're just looking to do what you do tonight and be successful at what you do. I don't know if they're going to break it. There's no need to break out any trickery or anything like that. You know, just run your offense because obviously that's good enough.
Right.
And so just come out and try. And again, I know we talked about this last week, the run game, looking to get more out of the run game. And this may be a game where they try to do that, just grind out a series or two, you know, try to establish something at the line of scrimmage, you know, let Mason French and Alex Marbury and even Austin Weaver at quarterback just carry the ball, run some time off the clock, and just kind of, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, shove your way down the field to see that, make sure you can do that.
Right. As far as some other scheduling notes go, let's maybe jump into it now, because I know that we do have some scheduling news for next year already. Yeah. if we want to deal with that right
all
now.
All right, let's go to the end of the podcast last week. I talked about how they had filled their week four with a school which I will no longer name for this reason.
Okay.
The reason we even talked about it was because I had a couple people at Hawaii confirm that's what they were doing. And before we even started the podcast that night, I went and looked, and it was on the Misha side on the schedule.
Okay.
So that's why we even talked about it, because it wasn't a done deal at that point, but it was a done deal.
Right.
Well, the next day on that Friday, I get to Sedalia, and I see Chris for a second, and the first thing he tells me is, yeah, we're not playing Team X anymore.
Right.
They had a change, and I think in a tweet I put it, they had a change of heart.
Okay.
So, now, they have now filled it again.
Okay.
And so we're going to say tentatively, because everything with the schedule is now tentatively.
Right.
They are going to play St. Mary's Southside out of St. Louis next year in week four.
Okay.
And they will be, I'm pretty sure they'll be going up there, because they were going to go to School X, and then the St. Mary's would come here in 2025. St. Mary's might be familiar to everybody. They won a state title two or three years ago, I can't remember. 12-1 this year they're struggling. If you know about the school, they talked about shutting down the school, but the alumni got together and put enough money to get it open again. So they lost a little bit of their football talent, who scattered to other places. But, you know, it's should be a decent game for them in week four, you know, with the schedule that they have, you know, 5, 6, and 7 again, Rockbridge, Capital City, Jeff City.
Right.
You know, a good game for them to see what they can do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're, 1-6 this year.
Yeah.
But if you look at those six, again, it's some good, you know, six class six losses with, you know, you got DeSmet was one of those losses. Only lost to Rockbridge by 7 points. So, you know, it's a team that's been in some of those close losses. They've got another 1 point loss in there too. So you look at it and go, yeah, it's you know, but for a play maybe here or there in some of those games, maybe that record's a little bit, you know, gaudier than what it is right now.
Yeah, you have to figure, you know, year two will be a lot improvement over this year.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, it should be a very good game for them, you know, next year. Now, again, okay, and we talked about Viotti coming off the schedule. Coming on the schedule next year will be Lift for Life, another St. Louis school. You know, they are a couple classes lower, but you know, Hawaii's sometimes finding a team in week nine is difficult.
Sure.
So when they found out, you know, the schedule just worked out. Again, not a bad team. You know, haven't had a lot of success at the state level, but you know, 500 or above a lot of the time. They will be coming to Ray Hedges Stadium next year. So you know, only one trip to St. Louis next year.
Yeah. And while we're on the topic of schedules, I guess
we love schedule talk.
We'll talk more about it next week, but as far as kind of maybe some advanced planning for this year's schedule looks, it looks like the, you know, the number one seed in districts is pretty much
locked up. I think you crunch the numbers, especially with them playing up
right.
this week and getting 10 bonus points for that, I think Hawaii is basically the number one seed.
Yeah.
And in a 17 district. So as the one seed, they would get a first round bye, so they would not play next Friday.
Okay.
They would wait to come back and play the winner of the 4 and 5 seed, which, you know, would either be North Point. At this point, would either be North Point or Battle. But, you know, that 5 spot is kind of up for grabs between them and Rolla.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to have 2 weeks off. Well, a week and a half off. Chris and I talked about that, you know, what they would do. And that we're going to have a lot of that in the story in today's paper. Hopefully, you all read it. What you do on a bye week. And it's a good reward. It's a chance to get, you know, for the little bangs and bruises to heal up
right.
and be at full strength heading into the postseason.
So let's just flip back then to Vianney for right now and focus on this week a little bit. And I'll just ask you, you know, I think I know which way you're leaning, but what's the separation tonight?
I think that, you know, I think Elias will do a really good job controlling the ball on okay. offense. And I don't think that the defense is going to take a night off either. You know,
right,
I think
right.
it's one of those, they have enough pride. They want to end the regular season on a high note. I'm going to take Elias 42-7.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.